welcome to the meeting, and once again our apologies for moving the meeting a little bit forward. That is due to the fact that a number of apologies were coming through to leave either the meeting early or not to attend the meeting at all. I must indicate that we have received apologies from Mr. Simo Joiners as soon as he completed his business in the house. Also an apology from the Honorable Kwangwa, who won't make the meeting. Are there any further apologies?
Yes, Mr. Phil, Marmani, and Christiane.
Are there any other apologies? So, yes.
Honorable Mage.
The Honorable Mage. Thank you. The agenda of the meeting has been circulated, and the item that I want to deal with are the minutes of the two meetings that we had in Pietermaritzburg last week. The minutes have been distributed. The first set of minutes is indicated as the 21st of July 2015. What we will do is first to check the correctness of the minutes, and thereafter, if there are any matters arising, we will look into that as well. Honorable Mulder.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have two problems with the minutes. The minutes are the 21st of July. On page 2 at the bottom, it says briefing by the police minister. On the first sentence, the second part of it, it says it focused on the four non-security features. That is opinion being expressed. Some people may talk about the four, but I would suggest that the word the should be removed because that indicates that that would be the only security. I don't think that's correctly captured. My second problem would be on page 3.
Page 3?
Yes, page 3, paragraph 3, deliberations. And the first one says, having received the briefing from the minister, the ad hoc committee deliberated as follows. And then the third point, the committee expressed itself on bias reporting by the media and that it was unfortunate that incorrect information was circulating as if it was factual. I will view that the committee never expressed itself in that way. Individual members of the committee may have expressed themselves, but the committee never did so. That should be correct.
Which should be certain members of the committee.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. We'll catch those corrections. Are there any other corrections in those minutes? Are there any other corrections on page 4? And then the last page is really just one sentence. And with those corrections that have been made, Honorable Kloama, page?
Professor Kutsa, NNP.
That's correct. It's the NFP. Professor Kutsa, NFP. Thank you, Mr. President. Ofaham. Are there any other corrections? Honourable members, with those corrections then I put the minutes to you as minutes of the meeting that took place on the 21st. If there's somebody who wants to move the adoption, the Honourable Morbo, the seconder, the Honourable Gamere. Are there any matters arising out of these minutes, Honourable members? There's no matters arising. We'll proceed then to the minutes of the 23rd of July, 2015, also firstly in terms of corrections. Are there any corrections? Honourable Mulder?
Yes, Chairperson. The minutes of the 23rd of July, on page 2, first point, it says one introduction. It says, Chairperson opened the meeting and welcomed all present. He informed members that the purpose of the meeting was to deliberate on the findings made from the site visit. I don't think any findings were made.
Observations.
It may have been observations.
Observations. That's correct. Any other corrections?
Yes, Chairperson, on the third page, the sixth bullet from the top, the factual statement, it says, the committee further observed that the swimming pool was an ordinary pool that could be used for firefighting purposes. I don't think the committee ever made that observation. It's made an observation of an individual member. Same with the next bullet, the next one says, the amphitheater was found to be a terraced embankment that poured so-and-so-and-so. I don't know who found that. The committee didn't find that. Then further down, it says, among the findings, the committee found that state funds were misused. The committee hasn't made any findings. There may have been observations by some members, but the committee didn't make a finding. And the next bullet says, the committee was unanimous in holding that all the individuals and duly benefited so-and-so-and-so should be covered. We didn't take a decision on that. It may have been somebody's observation, but the committee didn't find that. Thank you. Is there agreement with that, Honorable Kubai?
So, I think for me it's the issue of how we capture them. I agree with the process where we haven't been finding, it's observation. But for example, where we agreed in terms of money spent, I think it was a discussion. That's something, it's a matter of how it's being discussed. The committee, because here it says the committee was anonymous in holding that all individuals who are initially benefited. And I thought that was a sentiment across. Unless it's a view, there are issues that we find that we differed. But when there was anonymity on certain issues around accountability, around recovering money, how do we capture them? Because I thought that those were the sentiments that were coming across political parties. And that should reflect, because in the process that should help us in terms of where we have observed things. While I agree with other women that are on the operations part, they have not been funded. But where there's been consensus in discussion, in certain sentiments in fact.
Honourable Smith also on this point?
No, Chair, I was hoping that you were going to respond, because if I'm on the same point, I think it's going to make it difficult if we start speaking. I mean, on page 3, for instance, the fourth bullet says, or the fifth bullet says, it was clear the costs of constructions were inflated. Now, I can also ask the question, where was that currency coming from? Although we know that the general sentiment we all agreed on. But I mean, if we start becoming nitpicking, then I can also question and say, but it was not clear because I didn't do it, even though I like that. So I'm just not sure, say, how are we going to capture it. So that we don't spend too much time debating the minutes, although they are important. But I'm just saying, I'm just looking at that one, for example. I'm sure if we went to all the others, we would also be able to pick those things up. I'm not sure how you're going to manage it, Chair.
Is there a proposal of 3 minutes? What the staff was instructed to do was also to look at the recordings that were made during the deliberations that took place. And these are the conclusions that is derived from those deliberations that are there. If we can recall, honorable members, during our deliberations there was a general sentiment that was expressed in the meeting that costs were inflated, rules were completely ignored that was in place, and that the money should be recovered. And that is exactly how it is stated there, honorable order. Correct? Thank you. Are there any other corrections? Honorable President.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 3, the sort of second last bullet before the way forward. So it reads, the initiative by the Special Investigative Unit and Department of Public Works of recovering money from individuals unduly benefited from the project must be concluded without delay. I'm not sure that's something that's within our prerogative. That's all with the court. And while we might wish to see them concluded, I don't know if you can say they must be concluded.
Well, it is not recorded as a decision of the committee. It's a reflection of how it was discussed in the meeting. Okay? Any other, Honorable Masengo?
Thank you, Chair. I'm just looking at the way forward. Where we say members of the committee may suggest, I think it was exactly removed, may suggest that relevant role be assessed to be invited in future meetings of the committee. So it looks like a unanimous decision, and I don't think that we all agree that we need to invite all these people to the meeting.
I think it's just a question of the suggestions that were made. There was a decision that was taken. If you read the next bullet going with it, it clearly says that this is what was agreed upon. Honourable Mulder?
No, I agree with that suggestion. I think it's correct to capture it just members of the committee made the suggestion. Not the committee, it was not agreed. It was suggested amongst others. I can add some names that were mentioned, but they are not captured because it is amongst others. But it's not the decision of the committee, it was members' suggestion.
Okay. And there was what?
to the bottom of page 3, last paragraph. It was noted that the deadline for the report is Parliament is 7 August. Members were also reminded that Mr. Matani is subject to court appearances at the Peter Maritzburg Court, and there was an appeal for the committee not to interfere in the court process. I don't think there was any interference on our side. I think that we should just say members were also reminded that Mr. M. Matani is subject to high court litigation. There's no court appearances. There's no high court litigation. I'm not sure what force it is. And there was, and members should...
Well, I think we must stop there.
Yeah, that's it. Because we don't want... We don't need to explain. Members were trying to interfere. No, it was never that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've kept the wording there. That's correct. Any other corrections?
I was trying to follow the last sentence because I thought Honourable Clark first was contesting this intuition, but I hear you. I think with the division of the latter part, is that what we are printing?
Oh, this was in the repeated because I want to keep it as brief as possible. And I don't want to explain the same content
for the sentence. I'm just also reminded that McCartney is subject to High Court litigation.
Stop.
Full stop. And then delete the rest. Because, yeah.
Everyone happy with that? Thank you. I then put the minute of the 23rd of July view as corrected. The proposal for the acceptance of these minutes is a true reflection of that meeting. Honourable Kubai proposes is the seconder, the Honourable Luama. Are there any matters arising out of these minutes, Honourable Members? You recall it was part of a continuation by English. My English is hurting me now, and I can't say like the Minister of Peace, I'm surprised. Right? It's part of a continuation. Marcin, be careful what you wish for, you may get it. Okay? No matters arising. Thank you, Honourable Members. Minutes is then adopted. We will distribute the minutes of the meeting of yesterday by tomorrow, so that it can be considered at the next meeting. The reason why we're meeting today, Honourable Members, is as you can recall, after a long day of discussion yesterday, there were different views that emerged around the calling of any additional person or persons to appear in front of this committee. At the time yesterday afternoon, members of the opposition and members of the majority party had different views and opinions in terms of whether anyone should be called, and there was a request made and a proposal was seconded after the ANC deputy chief whip made a proposal. The Honourable Singh also they supported it, and there was general support that we should allow time for further consultations to take place so that the parties can try to find an amicable solution in terms of how we are going to approach this and try to agree. I am now going to ask the members, and I was informed by the deputy chief of the ANC this morning that a meeting took place, and it was attended by certain members. I will now first ask the deputy chief of the ANC to give us feedback on the discussions that took place, as well as the other members who are part of that discussion. The deputy chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, the meeting did take place this morning at around 9:30. We were in 8:09. We met from the ANC side, it was myself, Honorable Bierman, Honorable Smith, and from the opposition parties, we had Honorable Smith, Honorable Breitenberg, Honorable Melda, and Honorable Singh.
I think it's the Honourable Swart, not the Honourable Smith.
Oh, yeah, I mean Honourable Swart. Yeah, so they raise their reasons for why they want other people to be called to appear before this committee. We also raise ours as to why we don't think so. So We agree to go back to our different caucuses so that we can report and give feedback before we start the meeting today. So what happened this afternoon? So The position of the ANC still stands that we don't see a need to call other people other than the two ministers who appeared before this committee. Reason being that this ad hoc committee is not opening an investigation or reviewing other people's reports. So we preferred as the ANC to stick to our mandate, which is to deal with the report of the public works minister and the minister of police minister's report. Hence we went to Uganda and we came back to continue with our deliberations. So maybe you can allow my other colleagues to add on what I left out. Thank you, sir.
So the gist of what you're reporting is that you couldn't find an agreement in terms of anyone else to be called. Honourable Mulder?
I won't phrase it like that, Jefferson. It's not a question that we couldn't find an agreement. I think we had a very frank discussion. Opposition parties basically said what we thought was necessary to take the process forward. Names of individuals were mentioned that we thought would be necessary to be called. The ruling party obviously did not give any undertaking. They undertook basically to consult and give feedback, which we now have received. And in terms of the feedback that we received, it seems that the ruling party is of the view that nobody further should be called as a witness to appear in front of the committee. So that is where we are at the moment. I think in terms of feedback, obviously we would like to discuss the feedback that we've just received, but that is just the feedback from the meeting.
Okay. Since both of you were part of that meeting, there are members who were there probably exactly at the same point where we are then, in terms of the view that was expressed by the Deputy Chief Whip and also the Honourable Loda. Let's take the discussion then from there. Reflect on this point that the majority party is not supporting the view for any additional person or persons to be called to the committee. I want to give you an opportunity to do so, and you can just indicate by raising their hands, so that we just take them in that order. And let's try not to repeat one another, because the position is quite clear, and I think part is the opportunity to respond. Honourable Swart?
Yeah, not quite. I thought the Deputy Chief was going to allow other members to comment on part of the discussion as well, before we take the next step, because there were some interesting points that were raised, and you know, and obviously the meeting was very frank and it was helpful. I'm just not sure if you want me to engage on some of the points that we raised as well.
No, I think we must make it, obviously there were a number of issues that were discussed in that meeting. We raised those issues, Honourable Swart, in terms of what we heard now from the Deputy Chief Whip. We've not received a minute of the discussion that took place. I don't think that was why you had the offline discussion, but you may reflect on the viewpoints that was put across and what your position is in that regard.
Just
I think that's fair.
Thank you.
So take it, the Honourable Swart. I also have the Honourable Mulder, Honourable Reitenbach, the Honourable Smith, the Honourable Jalisa, and then the Honourable Mabinda and Honourable Bierkman in that order, please. And the Honourable Stiernitz. Thank you for raising his hand, Honourable Reitenbach.
Thank you, Chair. I think one of the important points that were raised was the fact that we dealt with two ministers' submissions and they were called as evidence, the Minister of Peace dealing with his report and the Minister of Public Works, and it was felt it was very important to hear the Public Protector as well. Because of the status of her report is not the same as other reports, it has a certain status, but more importantly, because of the accusations that have been made against her of misleading or however one wants to put it, I see the minutes cite inaccuracies and that you should be given the opportunity to respond to that, and then particularly following our visit to the President's homestead for her to get clarity as to how she reached certain conclusions relating to the swimming pool visitor centre and the theatre Kral and Colbert, and we thought that it would be very helpful for her to explain her binding recommendations. And obviously the majority party, and it was a very frank and helpful discussion and we did engage in various issues around that. Obviously, as the deputy chief whip was indicated, she listened very attentively, so did the other members, and they undertook to consult. And we've now sat with a situation where the decision will be taken whichever way, as indicated by the majority party. But how we take the process forward is we would still formally propose that the public protector should be called. From our side, I think it's very important. We stand by what we believe, and I think it is imperative for us to understand, as I've indicated in the meetings already, the legal status. Yes, the legal status of the public protector's report is not that of a binding court judgment, but it does have a legal status. The remedial action must be complied with in terms of Judge Skipper's judgment in the Diagos SABC matter. And the essence, the legal essence, and that is what we need to, we feel firmly about that, is that the President's decision to pass the matter on to the Minister of Police basically amounts to a review of her findings. And the question then is whether that decision is rational. And obviously, whether there are cogent reasons for that. And that is the essence, the legal questions about this. And we believe that it would be helpful for the public protector to come and help us understand how she reached her decision, and then maybe we could have a better understanding of how the minister reached his decision, Chair. So that would be our short submission. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mulder?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. We have not discussed this since the setting up of the third ad hoc committee. I am of the view, obviously, that unlike what the Honourable Deputy Group of the Ruling Party says, that they are sticking to the mandate. I believe we've got a different mandate, and that mandate comes from the Constitution. And I think the Constitution and its provisions would also trump even a resolution by the House. And if you look at what the Constitution very clearly expects of us as the legislative arm of Parliament, I would like to refer you to Section 55 of the Constitution dealing with powers of the National Assembly, Section 2A. The National Assembly must provide for mechanisms, this ad hoc committee is such a mechanism, to ensure that all executive organs of state and the national service government are accountable to it. When the resolution was adopted by the House to set up the ad hoc committee, we were given the powers in terms of the rules of Rule 138, general powers, and the first one mentioned in the rules, the committee has the right to summon any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation or to produce documents. We came back from Kampa, and if there's one thing that we would agree, it was that there's a huge problem and that the whole project has all kinds of questions that needs to be answered. Even the two members of the executive who appeared before the committee agreed with that. They were under no illusions. The rules were flaunted. Appointments were made in the wrongful way. Huge inflation of prices. Almost nothing went according to plan, and there was agreement. So how do we go about doing our job in terms of oversight? Now, if I understand the Green Party correctly, so they say they want to stick to the mandate, and that mandate means that all that we need to do is to look at the report of the Minister of Police and the Minister of Public Works. Let's say that's true. Let's say that is the mandate. How can we do that? How can we only look at those reports and only listen to the originators of those two reports, to the individuals themselves, but are not prepared to look into one other piece of evidence whatsoever? I find it very strange. We were here in the committee yesterday, we were told, sounds like hearsay to me, we were told, no, but then they did this and then somebody said that, etc., etc. Why on earth don't we want to listen to those people's, to those individuals firsthand? We don't want to know. We don't want to hear nothing of that sort. It doesn't make sense whatsoever. That's with regard to those two reports. If I come to the public protector, the Honourable Sartre has already referred to that. Why is it acceptable for us, and the ruling party had no problem with that, to allow the drafters of the other two reports, the Minister of Police and the Minister of Public Works, they were allowed to come to this committee, and they were allowed to talk at length to their report, explain what they've done, why they've done that, etc., etc. A courtesy that was never extended for 1 second to the public protector. Here is the report. And then the difference, I know there are all kinds of arguments this afternoon, the public protector operating in terms of provision and chapter in the Constitution, chapter 9, institutions supporting democracy. But not in the first, the second, or the third ad hoc committee. The need was ever expressed in terms of being prepared to listen to the public protector. No. We don't want to hear what she has to say. But in the third committee, we went beyond that. In Pietermaritzburg last week, strong attacks were made in terms of her credibility, in terms of the findings. It was stated quite clearly, she must lead the country. And all kinds of things in terms of her credibility was put on the table. Not by the committee, but by individual members who put those things out there. Do we really think that we can just do that and not apply that most basic principle in our law of audi alteram partem? Hear the other side. We don't want to hear the other side. We really don't want to hear the other side. We are prepared, without the public protector's input, without her training herself or putting herself in front of this committee, to judge, to find guilty, and to hang. Today, the ruling party comes back to us and they say, no, we don't want to hear anything by any witness further. Fine. My concern is, Chairperson, before we speak, that it's quite obvious what is happening here. The ruling party, and that's my observation, the ruling party is using their majority in the legislature to subvert the finding of the public protector, to subvert the legal action that she has in terms of the Constitution taking those steps, and to subvert that sphere of government by using your legislative majority. You can do it here. I'm telling you, it will not succeed in terms of perception out there, and it will not stand in a court of law. I decided to participate in the process of the third committee exactly because I thought that logic and reason will prevail. If you use your majority to prevent people from coming here, we are not interested in to know exactly what happened. We agree that things went completely wrong. But we don't want to hear. We just don't want to hear. I said previously, and colleagues will perhaps give their ideas, I said right from the beginning, obviously the public protector should be called. It's just fundamental. It's just basic. It's just logical. But you think it's not a good idea. Public protector should be called. I said from the beginning, the architect from Akanya should be called, because he's now scapegoat. And I know there's a court they're telling, but we can't get beyond that. I said that the former political office bearer should be called. The former Minister Deutsch, the former Minister of the Department of Environment, the Deputy Minister should be called. The others, Mr. Rindel, the project manager, why don't you ask him? Superintendent Hinton, it was discussed here yesterday, this letter, which he was accused of name dropping. Don't you want to hear what he's got to say about that? No, we don't want to hear about that. And there are other people as well. So, what I'm saying, Chairperson, is that you can use your majority today to prevent, as far as I'm concerned, Parliament do what it's supposed to do. You can use your majority to subvert the Constitution and the provisions that you've got in terms of what you're supposed to do in terms of oversight. But you will not change the perceptions out there. This thing will not go away. Why don't you want to deal with it once and for all? Show that you are serious in terms of corruption, in terms of things that went wrong. If you're not prepared to listen to anybody else, I am surely not going to believe you that everything is in order. Never mind anybody else. Thank you.
Honourable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I align myself largely with comments of Honourable Swarthy and Honourable Mulder. And I must say that I'm extremely disappointed. After our discussions this morning, I really thought that the ruling party was showing signs of doing the right thing and was showing a very reasonable approach. I'm really, really, really disappointed that they decided to not do the right thing. It's very clear to me that the truth is not what the committee is in pursuit of. because the truth cannot be heard without calling the public protector and at least the head of the SIU and possibly other people, but certainly those two people. And I think everybody here knows it. We called the two people who, it doesn't matter whether they are or they are not compatible, it doesn't matter whether they are or not subjective. The public perception is in fact that they are. And if this committee wants to have any credibility going forward, then they must call the two people who are clearly objective and independent. Section 181 of the Constitution binds all of us here today to support and protect the office of the public protector, certainly not the person of the public protector, but the office. And that office has been maligned and insulted. And many of the members here last week said that she had misled this committee, that she had misled the nation, and some of the members even said that she had lied. That's very easy to do when she's not here. And if they want anybody to take them seriously, then they should have the courage of their convictions, put their money where their mouth is, call her here, and tell her that she's a liar, and that she's misled the country, and that she's misled Parliament, and let her defend herself. The fact that they're not prepared to do so merely shows that they're cowards and they're not prepared to face the consequences of their accusations. The committee's work cannot possibly be concluded with any kind of reasonableness or credibility without calling at least the public protector and the head of the SIU and possibly the other members mentioned by the Honourable Mother. And if we fail to do that, I'm afraid that you're failing in terms of the Constitution. Because having maligned the Office of the Public Protector in the fashion that she has been maligned by the ruling party, or members thereof, she has in fact contravened Section 181 of the Constitution, and the only way to fix it is to apply the idea of self-imposed rule. And the fact that they do not have the courage to do so is quite astonishing. So, going forward, I cannot even begin to support a procedure that will deliberate only on the reports of the Minister of Police and the Minister of Public Works. Those reports are both based very largely on the content of the SIU report and the public protector's report, and it doesn't matter which one comes first in time. It's completely irrelevant. The fact of the matter is that the two reports that really matter are the SIU report and the public protector's report, and they are people that we're never going to hear from. And in my view, that is both unconstitutional and shows a serious lack of courage in a ruling party that is very, very disappointing. Thank you.
Honourable members, I want to call on everyone in the meeting just to maintain the decorum in terms of how the discussions proceed. Let's refrain from calling each other cowards because there will be retaliation coming. Right? So let's resist from calling honourable members of Parliament cowards. Honourable Brayton.
Would you like me to withdraw this? Very reluctantly, I withdraw.
Honourable sir?
You know, Mr. Mother's correct. This morning we really spoke frankly. But we can't sit here, Chair. We really can't sit here and somebody insults the ANC. And then expect us just to keep quiet about it. And then turn around and say very reluctantly, oh, it's very patronizing. For me, it's very patronizing. So I want to put that on record. That is, it's not acceptable to me for somebody to say that. Because if you want to make accusations, accuse individuals, but not accuse the movement. So I want to start this and maybe deal with our position. We think that it will be useful if we debate the merits and demerits thereof and not almost put out blatant. If it's not this way, that's the way I'm going to do it. So if we go to the public protector, for instance, and there's been, well, let me start by saying, sir, the mandate of the committee from Parliament, and we can debate whether that mandate supersedes the Constitution or not, but the mandate of this committee was to get a report back on implementation.
because the report of the previous ad hoc committee made many recommendations. The president must do this, the executive must do this, the technical task team must do that. That's what the mandate of this committee. And in carrying out that mandate, the Minister of Police and the Minister of Public Works didn't come and give a report. They came to report on the implementation. That's what they did. They came to say, in terms of the recommendation to charge people, this is where we're at. In terms of whether it's security or non-security, this is where we're at. And whether we agree or disagree is something that we must debate. But that's what they came to do. So to argue that we allow them to report and somebody else to report is not that accurate. And I think we are following our mandate, Chairperson, in that regard. The ANC, as a movement, and maybe individuals is something different, certainly as the ANC, ours was to attack the content of the report of the public protector. Not the person, but the office. The content of the report. In the report, it spoke about an amphitheater as an example. We went in because it's not an amphitheater. The media went out and so it was not an amphitheater. So we were attacking the rationale of the content of the report. And if there were members that attacked the auditor, the public protector as a person, maybe those people would have to sort that out. But certainly the ANC was attacking the content. There's nothing wrong criticizing content of the report. I stand by the view that that report didn't reflect what I saw in Uganda. It didn't. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. So we're not attacking the individual, we're attacking the content of the report. So, I think in terms of our oversight, we received the report from the auditor, from the public protector. Previously, the previous committee, they received all those other reports, and they processed those reports. Whether we are satisfied with how they processed them or not, they were processed. I am not convinced that the only way to do oversight over the executive or even the public protector for that matter is to call her here personally. Or if we criticize the content of the report, she must come and defend the report. Either from Scopa. We criticize the content of the Auditor General's report most days. But nobody has ever said to Parliament, call the Auditor General to defend it. He's also a chapter institution. He's also a chapter institution. And we're not happy with the content of his report that we must work with as Scopa or as Parliament. We've never said. And there's never been this outcry that his chapter 9 institution, he must be called to defend himself. Surely we can criticize the report. So, I think this thing that says the public protector must come here to defend himself is something that I don't like personally. Because we're dealing with the content of the report and not with Madonsela, the person. You know, this thing of a session also, Chair, and we discussed it this morning. Members here are saying there's a perception out there that if we don't call the public protector, Parliament would, certain sectors of society would not buy whatever we did, whether we went to sea or what, because they only believe in the public protector's report. Well, there's another perception, Chen. If indeed we call the public protector, and some of us went to town with what we think is wrong, the other perception would be we are not defending the public protector, because that's our duty. So both sides, we damned if we don't, because I certainly will criticize the content of the report. And I'm sure there will be a perception created in South Africa, he is not defending the public protector. So I think when we talk about perceptions, they are just that. They are just that, they are perceptions. And your perception and my perception can't be more weighty than your perception, and vice versa. And unfortunately, the argument that says that we must call her because there's a legal, we don't have the competency to deal with legal matters in this ad hoc committee. That matters in the court. I don't know if we hold the public protector here, how would we advance the legal argument? Because we don't have the competency for a legal argument. So, Chair, I believe that with all the evidence before us,
from the previous ad hoc committee or the previous two ad hoc committees, plus what we were to receive physically last week, plus what the ministers came to explain in terms of implementation or advancing the recommendations, I believe that we have sufficient evidence to write a report. Because ultimately that it is. We must write a report. I don't know that the public protectors coming here is going to have anything to write in the report, because there's been an argument that she's not a security specialist. So what is it that she's going to come and do here? If we're talking about the security, not security matters. If she's going to come and defend herself because she thinks that we might have slandered her name, well, I argued just now that maybe the Auditor General will also ask that tomorrow and any other Chapter 9 institution. We never slandered her name. We attack the content of the report, which is our right to attack the content of the report. And that's what I want to say. That's the NC's position. If individuals did that, I think those individuals must be reprimanded. But so our position is that we can't see any value that will add to us concluding our own work as an ad hoc committee by calling any other witness to come and report. We don't think there's any other value to call any other witness to report. And we have that method. For me, as ANC, we've got all the information we think is required. And we're not convinced that calling the Auditor General, calling the Public Protector or calling Rundle, because we're not reopening the investigation. We are deliberating on the evidence before us. I thank you, Chairperson.
The Honourable Chaisa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah, I can hear what your members are saying here. But personally, from Chairperson, I'm very much disappointed. But the time request we put forward is being turned down by the ruling party. I thought there's a matter of the play and the compromise that would give the chance to the public protector to come here, because there's nothing legal that prevents from coming. And this has been read out by Donald Mulder. So there's nothing legal that can prevent us from calling public protector to come here. The public protector now has been appointed by the parliament, because you make a recommendation that the president has to sign, for she has got to account to the parliament. In any way now, she is not coming here to account, but she is coming here now to give some charges on the report so that now we get all the issues clear. I don't think now there was any interest when she comes here. That is why Chairperson, I say now I'm very much disappointed. I thought we were working together trying to bring solutions to the problems that we're facing here in the country together. But somehow now we seem not to agree on some things, because only the person had to come and explain some of the things that we want to explain. That is not the same. In other words, that would be bonus to us as members of the committee. So, Chairperson, that is all I can say. Thank you very much.
Honourable Mbina.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I must also, say it is very disappointing, that not especially the report of the public protector, at least is not getting an opportunity to be interrogated by this committee. You see, the ruling party, they keep on saying we are reopening investigations. And I don't think it is the intention. By scrutinizing and interrogating the reports of both ministers is not opening an interrogation. And we all need to understand that even both of those two reports, I would say they are informed by the report of the public protector. And the report of the public protector is under attack if you look at those two reports. That means they are challenging the authenticity of that report. That is why we are saying it will be fair, even if you look at the rules of, justice. It will be fair that the public protector is also
in front of the committee so that we can interrogate and scrutinize the report. And in order for this whole process to be credible, I think it is important that that report is presented by the public protector herself in front of this committee. And I also want the ruling party to also remember that when we took a decision to participate in this committee, other parties felt that we will rubber stamp things. We are only coming here to rubber stamp the process because the ruling party will use its own majority muscle to do as you wish. And I hope you will keep that at least in mind when we are dealing with these issues. Because you all know that you know not a special public protector's report. You know that the thinking of the public, more especially when it comes to the public protector. As I have said, that that institution is a credible institution, and you cannot compare it with the reports that are coming from both ministers, the Minister of Police and the Minister of Public Works. So, and I thought that at least you will at least think deeply about that and reconsider more especially this thing, this position of yours, because really even ordinary people will not even understand why, if we are not hiding anything, why we do not allow the public protector to come so that we can interrogate. We want to interrogate the content of the report as presented by the public protector, not the public protector. That's what we are trying to do. So even other parties will say they have indicated with exactly what they told us before we came there. And I thought that at least the ruling party will find a way so that at least the credibility is given to the entire process. We are not here to rubber stamp. We understand that you are in the majority, but we don't believe that that majority should be abused or should be used at the expense of the public, of the South Africans. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Beekman?
Yeah, I thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity to respond for some of the issues. I think at this stage of the proceedings, it's paramount to assess maybe where we are constitutionally in terms of the rules and also in terms of the mandate of the current ad hoc committee. It's maybe also vital to understand the broader principles that underscore the deliberations, namely the separation of powers between the different branches of the state and the constitutional mandate of Parliament as contained in Chapter 4 of the Constitution, but also to refer to Chapter 9 in its whole. We referred to this aspect yesterday evening, but let us again refer to Section 42.1.3 of the Constitution. I think that's an important point, the role of the National Assembly and its committees. Namely, that we are elected to represent the people and to ensure government by the people under the Constitution. We do this by choosing the President, by providing a national forum for public consideration of issues, by passing legislation, and by scrutinizing and overseeing executive action. And I want to highlight by scrutinizing and overseeing executive action. Chairperson, scrutinizing and overseeing executive actions are business today. And we must assume this role unashamedly and without reservation. And that's what we did when we interacted with the two ministers. We cannot delegate that duty. We cannot shy away from it. And we also cannot expect other agencies to do it for us. That is our task as members of Parliament and as members of this committee. We have, for instance, the Minister of Police was interrogated for a day and a half, a day in Pietermaritzburg and half a day here, where the Minister of Public Works for half a day here. It's also vital to take note of Section 56 of the Constitution, dealing with evidence. The National Assembly or any of its committees may A, summon any person to appear before it or to give evidence on oath or information or to produce documents, require any person or institution to report to it, compel in terms of the national legislation or the rules and others, any person or institution to comply with the summons or requirement in terms of paragraph E, to receive petitions, representations or submissions from any interested person or institutions. It therefore can't cause an ad hoc committee to decide whether or not to invite persons to appear before the committee or not. Now, the committee, in terms of the deliberation, since we've assumed our duties, we received two referrals from the speaker with regard to our mandate. Now, it's quite important because I think we must maybe even ask the secretary to make available, even not only the committee minutes of the previous ad hoc committee, but also the PNG minute, because it's an outside institution. And it's quite interesting that the previous committee deliberated and considered all the source documents, that includes the public protector report, the Darcy, the SIU report, as source documents on the following dates, because some of the members are now indicating that that was ever done, or we haven't considered it. It was considered on the 18th of September 2014, 25 September 2014, 26 September 2014, 30 September 2014, 9 October 2014, 6 November 2014, as well as the 11th of November of 2014. So it's quite clear that those reports were deliberated. In the previous committee, call the committee made was not to call any witnesses. Now, in the current instance, there was more cogent reason to call the Minister of Police, since he was responding to Section 5.9 of the Ad Hoc Committee on page 2982 of the ADC. The committee recommends that the matter of what constitutes security and non-security upgrades at the President's private residence should be interrogated. The reports of the Minister of Police and Public Works was duly tabled before the committee. Duly tabled. We received extensive oral briefings from the ministers, and they were properly interrogated of the reports. In the course of our own site visit, we also interrogated, in terms of previous engagements, we also interrogated the following reports as source documents or consideration by the committee. Look at page 205 of the report of the Ad Hoc Committee dated 11 November 2014. Again, the Interministerial Security Tasking Report, the report of the JSI, the Public Protector Report, and the SIU report. So that indeed negates the observation that was made that there is no need for oral representations on those reports. The Minister of Public Works appearance before the committee was supported by all the parties. It's also vital to again highlight the fact that the other reports were thoroughly interrogated and recommendations were made. Even in the current process, those reports were again interrogated, not at the same level and at the same depth, but it was done. Again, to indicate that the previous ad hoc committee report was debated in the House and it was adopted by the House. Even if you look at the comparative table in second ad hoc committee report 352 on page 2967, that shows a general agreement across the reports of the Interministerial Task Team, the Public Protector and the SIU, is an indication that these reports were thoroughly interrogated and studied. Even some of the members of Castle Isle referred to those tables. So it is not correct to say they were properly considered. On the necessity to call other witnesses, I think that was the discussion this morning, members should be referred to page 2956 of the second ad hoc committee report. The committee noted that when the public protector, and I think that's the precedent we want to refer to, I think in 2004, the committee noted that when the public protector then submitted his report to the National Assembly in 2004, BP special report of Parliament 28 May 2004, the NA established an ad hoc committee to deal with matters. The committee noted that in proceeding its work, the ad hoc committee of 2004 did not call witnesses to give evidence, but instead considered the contents of the report before them. So we're in a similar position where we consider reports before us. The committee therefore applied principle of foreign diseases and focused on the content of the investigative reports that served as source documents before, rather than initiating its own investigation into the matter. Because we present some of the proposals that we've heard this afternoon is really to initiate a new report. All those people who have appeared or had interactions with the SIU as well as the public protector, and there's legal processes underway, we want to redo investigation. That's actually what the members are suggesting. Chairperson, again, we have to consider the four reports in the previous ad hoc committee and the National Assembly decided on that matter as previously indicated. In the current committee, as we've indicated, the same reports were again interrogated in some measure. The material issues at hand were the matter referred to in paragraph 1.5 of the Minister of Police's report. And I quote, "The report that is tabled before Parliament today is focused on the alleged security features. The public protector has examined all complaints related to the security updates of the president's residence in the Gondola and has confirmed that no public funds were used to upgrade the private residence of the president, with the exception of specific features where we were listed as the swimming pool, parole visitor center, and the amphitheater." So that is really the focus of this committee. And we as an ad hoc committee had ample opportunity to scrutinize the same features during our visit last week. We had the opportunity to see for ourselves the nature of the same features. And that's a very important role that parliamentarians should appreciate. We had the opportunity to interact with the staff of SAPS and the private residence of the president. We had the opportunity to ask questions of clarification. We had the opportunity to note our observations. We had the opportunity to compare our notes with the four reports and the two reports of the minister. And I agree with Honourable Smith, who said, well, we're at this stage, after our visits and looking at the various reports, we have now the, I think, we're at a stage where we can come to some conclusions in terms of that. Chairperson, it's our time as legislators, as members of Parliament, to fulfill our duties as stipulated in Chapter 4 of the Constitution. Chairperson, remember our discussion last year when we reflected on the exercise to look at the commonalities and differences between the PT, SIU, and the security task team. We said clearly that a comparison of the conclusions of each of the investigative reports is not aimed to separate and cast aspersions on any of this, any structures or agencies. And I agree with Honourable Smith. From our perspective, we are not here to cast aspersions on the Office of the Public Protector. But of course, if we delay our own analysis of the facts at hand, and if we differ from conclusions of said agencies, it's not that we undermine agencies, but we must be able to accentuate it, and we must be able to deliberate on it and also discuss it. That is our work as legislatures. And the other point we raised also this morning in our discussions with the colleagues across the aisle was maybe that is where we are in terms of democracy, that we must also have robust discussions about the role of different institutions, but we must do it in such a way that we do not deter from the functionality. To differ from findings is not a big problem. We can deal with it effectively. Chairperson, our object today from this side of the house is not to receive, consider, change or review the PP's report. That is not our goal. We know the only institution that can review the PP's report is a court of law. We agree with that. We don't disagree with that. The object of our exercise is to receive, consider and deliberate upon the report of the Minister of Police that was tabled, as well as the one of the Minister of Public Works. And the differences in the public protector and the Minister of Police report must be debated, because we have been there in the Gondola last week. And the fundamental issue of the conclusion is whether the features qualify as security upgrades or not. And that's the initial thing. A chairperson maybe also to indicate as well, we totally underscore the provisions in Chapter 9 of the Constitution, Section 101, that no person or organ of state may interfere with the functioning of these institutions. These institutions, I think that's also important in Subsection 5, these institutions are accountable to the National Assembly and must report on the activities and the performance of the functions in the Assembly at least once a year. The argument we also forward in this morning's deliberations was, say, well, if there's fundamental errors in the reports of the 9 institutions, maybe it's other institutions or other committees of Parliament that must look at it, or responsible portfolio committee, but really it's not within the mandate of this committee to deal with that. Chairperson, there was also a reference again to the question of remedial action. And maybe, and we received, I think last week, one of the parties who submitted a submission on the role of the skipper's judgment. But again, I think we must again look at what the skipper's judgment indeed said. And certainly there is no other judgment at this stage from the ACA as well as the Constitutional Court. We must speak to what is in here. And I will quote from page 32, paragraph 51. Further, unlike an order or decision of court, a finding by the public protector is not binding on persons in the state. If it was intended that the findings of the public protector should be binding and enforceable, the Constitution would have said so. So I think that was also, again, underscored in the report of the second ad hoc committee. So, Chairperson, I think looking at the current, where we are currently, it's quite clear that in terms of the reports that have been discussed, we can make our conclusions based on our inspection in loco as well as the submissions we receive, as well as previous report. Thank you.
Honourable Skinnison.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. And at the outset, I'd like to say that we entered into this process on this committee in good faith. We really felt that what we were going to get at the end of the day is a proper look into this matter and a proper deliberation. And I'm very sad that we've got to this point in the committee, because it appears that all the parties are retreating now back into their loggers, and I think that at the end of the day, the issue itself is going to suffer and not be put to bed. We can lawyer it away as much as we like, we can finesse it as much as we like. There's essentially one process happening here. You can call it the tale of two reports. Your public protector's report, an independent Chapter 9 institution, on the one hand, they found that the president unduly benefited to non-security upgrades at his residence. On the other hand, you have a report of a member of the executive who found that the president did not unduly benefit. Now, those two are mutually exclusive, and they completely are diametrically opposed in terms of their findings. Now, I want to return again to 1812, and I'm glad that the Honourable Bjorkman raised it, because I think what's going to happen here, and I see the political process unfolding, is that there's going to be an attempt to substitute the public protector's report with the Nshweko's report, and that process to try and sanitize the president's culpability, liability, whatever you want to turn it. Now, I would advance to you that in 181, I don't think that is possible. As in Skipper's judgment as well, I think you stopped a bit short there. The public protector's findings cannot be ignored. They cannot be ignored. And so, what you're trying to do here is to substitute the report, and I think in doing so, in terms of trying to substitute the public protector's report with a report by the police minister, is undermining the public protector in entirety, because you're basically saying her report is not worth the salt, but the report from the executive is. Now, you talk about reopening the investigation. Well, let's take back to what the police minister did. The police minister reopened the investigation. The public protector had sent people out there, they had made findings, she took people with her, she had produced a report. The minister has now taken his own team out there, he reopened that investigation and has come to different conclusions. Now, there's no problem with that. There really is no problem with that. But I think it's unreasonable and rational to not allow the public protector to come. Now, I think it's instructive that in Kandla episode 1, in Kandla episode 2, Once has the public protector been invited to appear before the committee and express herself on a report? Not once. We're about to hit in time the three now, which on, and again we're not affording her the opportunity. Yet in all these ages we've allowed members of the executive carte blanche to come here and express their side of the view, their side of their arguments, to protect and defend their report, to be interrogated on their findings, but we've never extended that courtesy. And I want to know why this committee is scared to do so. And surely for the sake of completeness, we should have the public protector here. We heard the differences that people had, and you know, there were some people who were overtly undermining of the public protector, and thanks for misleading the nation. But by substituting the report, you're tacitly undermining the public protector. And by not giving an opportunity to be there to defend herself. And so, you know, Honourable Gerpen extended, you know, a whole list of times that the public protector's report has been discussed. And I think it was an extensive list. But it would be interesting to know, one of those extensive times, was the public protector ever there and given an opportunity to respond? And I would say to you, according to my understanding and my knowledge, she has never been extended that urgency. And I would say to you that the tacit undermining of the public protector's role. We cannot ignore the public protector's report. We cannot substitute it with the police minister's report. And so I'm saying to you again, this is what I've said in Pietermaritzburg. If you think you're going to close this committee now, and you're going to stop the public protector from coming here, and we're going to close our books and walk away and say, well, the president doesn't owe anything, you know, let's all go in peace and sin no more, you are mistaken. Because when you don't deal with the sore and you keep putting a plaster on it, but you don't treat the root infection, it's never going to go away. And every time that plaster is going to lift up, that sore is still going to be there. This is a sore on our political body in South Africa. It bedevils everything we do, from parliament to the public debate to discourse to whatever happens in politics, this matter bedevils it. And this is the one opportunity for us to finally put this matter behind us, to find the necessary culpability where it is, to deal with the public protector's report, to understand why the police minister has differed with her, and give her an opportunity to respond to those differences. But instead, we're now shutting the thing down, we're going to walk away, and I can tell you right now, this is not going to go away. You can stand on your head, you can whistle, you can wish it away, it's not going to go away. And so I think we're missing out on an opportunity here. I think that we have a golden opportunity to set this matter behind us once and for all. And we are missing out on it. And I think that parliaments in the nation are going to be poorer for this dereliction.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable colleagues. I'm sorry I was late, busy with business in the House.
No, I know that your apology to the meeting before then.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to ask ourselves, all of us, a basic question. What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of listening to somebody who might say something that we don't like to hear? Why are we afraid? You know, it seems to me that this is akin to a judge who is conducting a trial of a magistrate, calls two witnesses, and he says, right, matter is over, let's proceed now and I'll give judgment on this matter. But Honourable Stevenson says, we have a golden opportunity to put Nkandla behind us once and for all, for better or for worse. But we are not seizing that opportunity, carpe diem. We're not doing that. Going around and around and around in circles. When I walked in, Honourable Chair, I had Honourable Smith presenting an argument. Does the Auditor General ever come to speak to a report? I've also served on SCOPA for the better part of 20 years. And the answer to the question is yes. A categoric yes. Whenever the Auditor General publishes the report, all the reports, SCOPA then considers those reports and decides which departments or entities they want to call before the committee to interrogate them further on financial administration. Once we decide on that list, the next step is to invite the Auditor General in person, but the Office of the Auditor General to come along there in a closed meeting, and this has been the practice of this Parliament, in a closed meeting to explain the report to members of SCOPA.
And in that meeting, the report is prepared. Closed meeting, yes. Why can't we call a public chapter in a closed meeting? In a closed meeting. Come there, they explain the report. We ask questions, and thereafter, we have a hearing with the department. We set a hearing, and we ask them all sorts of questions related to the report of the auditor. But the office of the auditor general is allowed the courtesy and given the opportunity to come and explain to members of the committee why they reach certain conclusions. We are denying public protector that opportunity to come to this committee. And it's not Honorable Bierkman that the committee did not think but witnesses. We on this side of the house, from the beginning we've been saying the public protector, amongst others, should be called. But that request was denied by the majority party. That's the truth of the matter. It's not that we could say the committee decided, but it was the majority party that wanted that. Honorable Chairperson, we talk about the Constitution. Now, if we look at what Honorable Bierkman is saying, 42.1.1.3, the National Assembly is elected to represent the people and ensure government by people under the Constitution. It does this by choosing the president, by providing a national forum for public consideration of issues. By providing a national forum for public consideration of issues. We are not providing the forum. We are failing in our duty in providing that national forum for public consideration of issues, which is enshrined in the Constitution. If you look at the function of the public protector must be accessible to all persons and communities. Yeah, the public protector is saying, I can make myself accessible to you as a committee. But we are saying, no, we don't want you. Well, it seems that way, that's what we want to say. We went to Encanta, it was Honorable Bierkman. We saw what happened. We all agreed on the shoddy workmanship. But we don't want to know why it happened and who caused it to happen. And we can only get those answers if we call public protector and ask her directly in a face, public protector, what is the meaning of an amphitheater? Do you know the meaning of an amphitheater? We don't agree with you that that was an amphitheater. Yet you called it an amphitheater. But unless we give her that opportunity, like Honorable CNA says, Nkandla is not going to go away. And our appeal, Chair, is that if we want to do a job that we think the public out there, the broader public, will be convinced that members of Parliament are taking their work seriously, then we have to hear all sides. And we are denying a very, very important player in this entire exercise that produce the first report, an opportunity to come to us as members of Parliament representing the South African public. And I again ask, what are we afraid of? Thank you.
I've heard given the opportunity to the other members of the Universe who haven't asked any questions, so putting this forward. Honorable Luama.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. You know, Honorable Chair, if I didn't respect honorable members of the Ruling Party, I would have blamed Richard. Because, really, I don't doubt their intelligence, Honorable Chair. If they really wanted to resolve this issue once for all, I think it goes without saying that the public protector would have helped us a lot. But anyway, I'm now more convinced that it seems the ruling party is hell-bent on making sure that our president survived this one also. And it is very painful because history favors this party to make sure that our democracy is not going the same way as Zimbabwe and any other states if we saw the democracy failing. The issue has got far-reaching implications. It's not just about, it is about the morale of the society at large. I'm very worried that by participating here, I'm actually helping in putting the public protector grid on the platter. She's been sacrificed. And if what he recommended, I agree that we need to look into the contents of the report. But I think for her, she's not in Egypt. She's in this country. We can call her here. And then she can come and further help us. And if we are helping to make our institutions not be respected, even by number one, the president, we should not be surprised if this country turns into chaos. And this is truly an abuse of power, Honorable Chair. So I want to add my voice that the public protector should come here. I even think that, unfortunately, because of that court in Pietermaritzburg, I was also thinking that Minenza Matanya was very, very important to come and assist here also. Honorable Chair, we need to pursue the truth. We should not find ways, technicalities, or use our majority. And I thought we are pursuing the truth, but I can see now this has become a political game. But we know that this ad hoc committee will have the report, Chair. But I just want to register that when it reached that point, where we'll be saying President Zuma should not pay anything, the report of the public protector, she misled the nation. Some of us really wish not to be counted in those stories, because we still believe that all of us agreed when we were in Uganda that there were things which were not. We saw there were no amphitheater, but we also saw that people used Uganda to loot. Actually, in Uganda, it was, people were winning lotto. So the only person, or the head of the house, the president, is the only person who, as some want us to believe, did not benefit from that. So, Honorable Chair, I am very, very worried, and I just want to make sure that the ruling party must really look into this. We must not do nothing now in the parliament because they are the majority, but time will come where we will do something. But I can tell you, as long you are ruling and then you protect the corrupt, you must know that your time of ruling is coming to an end. And then I want to say this, and Honorable Chair, I am not emotional, but I want to say this to the ruling party and the members who are sitting in this committee, that they should not play with our country. The public protector must come here. If they don't allow that, they are really playing with the future of this country. And it's very clear, it's vivid, it's just a political game now to make sure that President Zuma is not held accountable. And then I want to add also that it will take nothing away for the public protector to come into this committee and assist this process. Unless if there is something that we fear, something that we protect. We know very well that if she comes here, we might not be able to look into her eye and say what we say when she's not here. And then I think it's also our duty to make sure that we don't only protect the public protector, we also protect outstanding individuals, citizens of this country, who are brave enough, to hold the executive accountable. And the public protector did that. When we see an example of men who have been, unable to do as she did. So I'm saying to Honorable Chairperson, the public protector, I want to submit that she needs to come in and assist the process. And I agree, we can look at all the constitution and say whatever we want to say. But if the public protector can come here just for 30 minutes or for an hour and give and allow us to engage the public protector, if most of the things that we are questioning, we have questions for, she can be able to answer or not answer, will all of us, including my party, say, no, this is the position. But, for us, even when we see the truth, we don't want to follow the truth. Then I don't know, for the whole 100 years or 200 years that we have been fighting people who are oppressing us, what are we fighting for? If we can't even survive, we can't stand against corruption. Then it means really that greed has taken over in this country. And it also shows to me that there's something wrong in this parliament. People cannot, in their individual right, follow justice, even if it's against their own leaders. So the basic principle of what we call civilization has been broken here. I'm saying, Honorable Chairperson, I even ask myself whether it will be necessary for me to come into the next meeting of this committee, because I thought I'm talking to my colleagues in Parliament who are to protect this country, who are to fight corruption. But what I see here, I see that that is no longer an issue. We have to protect the president at all costs. Those who will come here and incriminate us or say things that we do not want to agree with, let us shelve them. Let us use technicalities as much as we can. So, lastly, Honorable Chairperson, I want to say, if we don't call the public protector, this committee will lose its credibility. It will actually be a farce. So, I hope if we sleep tonight, when we wake up in the morning, someone will write letters to you, Honorable Chair, and say, look, we apologize. We agree with opposition practices called the public project. That will be a good thing. At least we'll be united now trying to solve this problem. So this committee maybe might be the last one for Uganda, if we can take that way. If we don't take that way, there will be other committees. I don't know where we'll lead. But I think the biggest problem here is not not necessarily because we don't want to see the truth. How can we avoid the truth? How can we avoid the president being exposed so that he can be, he can act? It's about, you know, making sure that we protect who is one of our own. It's not about saving this country, making sure that this country is for us and generations to come. And we know from other research of other, you know, countries that got liberation before us. This is not happening with this country. But we're thinking there will be better leaders, you know, outstanding South Africans in this parliament who can actually make sure that this country take a different path from other paths. But I am very, very disappointed. But we will push, even if this committee can reach its report, if the public protectors are coming here, Honorable Chair, you must put on record. I personally, on behalf of my party, I will stand against this report because it will be a short truth. It will not be a true reflection of what we wanted. So, Honorable Chairman, in those ways, I am saying that's my submission. I hope they change, they call the public project. Otherwise, this is a very, very nice pass.
Honorable Mocheka, I notice you, Honorable Kubisa, is a list here in front of me. You've just arrived. So, you go to the bottom of the list.
Honorable Chairperson. After listening to the concise and to the point submission of the position of the African National Congress by the Deputy Chief Whip, and listening to the analysis of the observations at Uganda, and the very able exposition of the law applicable to the issues facing us, I really thought that our friends on the other side are persuaded to the extent that by now we would be talking about writing the report, the final report on this matter, as Honorable Smith and Honorable Figman proposed. But now the follow-up input, especially by Mr. Steenhuis, showed me that the problem or challenge we're facing here is that of failure to understand the mandate, despite the fact that Honorable Vietman clearly outlined it. Secondly, there's a failure to understand the process. And thirdly, a misunderstanding of the Constitution and the law and how they apply to the issues before us. In the first committee, the ANC did not impose anything. the ANC said, the committee is entitled to call witnesses where the need arises. And we deliberated in the committee. The need did not arise. And as the deputy chief correctly put it, even in that case, we were not opening any investigation. We were not reviewing any report. We were considering all the reports. And Honorable Diekman has already indicated that that was done and that was finalized. But it is actually unfortunate to listen to members of parliament who seem not to understand the doctrine of the separation of powers and the independence of the judiciary and the respect that we should give to the judiciary. I give you an example. We maintained as the ANC before the judgment that the public protectors' remedial actions are not binding and enforceable. Now, Judge Skipper vindicated us. Now, in this country, which is a constitutional democracy, and I think Honorable Dietman indicated that, the only decision we have on this matter is that of Judge Skipper. The Supreme Court of Appeals earlier on had only said that the public protector in our situation is different from the ombuds only to the extent that she can initiate investigation. And therefore, that decision for our purpose now is not even very critical. But critical is the decision of Judge Skipper, which says the remedial actions of the public protector are not binding. Now, who are we to overrule Judge Skipper? We are not sitting as a court of law. And therefore, we cannot challenge the decision of the court of law. And as parliament, we must be the first to respect the decisions of our court. Let me also move on and say, although this matter is not finalized, if you look at the judgment of, the papers filed in the case of Home Affairs, you will find that the public protector contradicted herself when she said, no, her duty was to report to the National Assembly when pressed on this matter. And I think Honorable John Jeffries in the House dealt with that contradiction so thoroughly, and I don't want to waste time on it. I just want to put it on record that that contradiction is there, that the public protector herself doesn't really seem to know where she stands on that matter. But I want to also agree with Honorable Beaton that Chapter 9 institutions are accountable to the National Assembly. And accountability doesn't mean that they must present their reports before us and that we must rubber stamp the reports. We are entitled, in terms of our oversight work, to scrutinize the reports and form our own opinions, which may be different from the opinions of the Chapter 9 institutions or reports. Now, the differences of our opinions with those in a report cannot and does not amount to bashing the Chapter 9 institutions, cannot amount to undermining those institutions. I think this suggestions that there are some amongst us who undermine those institutions, who bash those institutions, who attack them, are actually scare tactics. These things are said to make us fold our arms and not to carry out our oversight work, which involve scrutiny. Let me go on and say that, you know, I think Honorable Bjergman and the Honorable Vincent Smith elaborated so eloquently on what the Deputy Chief correctly said. Here we are operating in terms of a mandate emanating from the resolution of the House. That mandate wanted certain things to be done, and among those things is the engagement of security experts to go and do the work. And the outcome of it is what Minister Ntego presented for us. And now, by calling Minister Ntego, is not calling witnesses. We are merely asking him to give a report on what we as Parliament had asked the executive to do, and has done that. And when we call Minister Nancy to appear before us, we're not actually calling a witness. The Department of Public Works was an implementing department in this area. So it's only fitting that if there are things that arise from the implementation, we get someone who's implementing to appear for us. So there is this notion that we are not observing the rule of natural justice called in Latin Audi Alteram Patern. Here the other side. I think the call for the application of that rule is a misunderstanding of where that rule applies, because we have fully had a public protector because he gave a report to us. And we said, we respect this report, we are not reviewing the report, but we want to go and see for ourselves. And we went to see for ourselves and came up with different opinions to her opinion. Now, these differences of opinion cannot amount to an attack on a report or attack on her person. So I want to say, agree with my colleagues, Honorable Chairperson, that actually here we are having a situation where the Office of the Public Protector has done its work, and that office is functus officio. It has completed its job. Now the matter is in the hands of Parliament to go to Uganda. We have been to Uganda. We came up with different opinions, and I think we should not and cannot apologize when we say the report of the Public Protector is misleading and has misled the nation, because we all had a look at the steps, those terraces, and we didn't even spend 3 minutes, because it was clear that we were not in an amphitheater or at an amphitheater. So whatever she said about the amphitheater and undue benefit falls away. And we were together when we went to the pool, and there was an explanation how it was intended the water would be utilized, and there's no one who can say the use of the water as explained is something that would be illogical or irrational. Now, we saw the cattle crawl, where it was located, it would obstruct security operations. So no one amongst us can say it was irrational or illogical to remove the cattle crawl to another point. But all of us also agreed that the amount for building the new cathedral was way above what is reasonable. I even said that I built a better cathedral which was not worth even 40,000. And this one is worth a million. Which means when we deal with the escalation of the cost of the crown, we are dealing with the people who built the crown, not with the people, the person for whom the crown was built. So if something is wrong with the escalation there, I even mentioned the name of the president, because he did not estimate, he did not budget for that whole thing. So I think that we're really, unfortunately, just trying to do things for politicking and not for addressing the challenges that face us as parliament. Let me, with your permission, Honorable Chairperson, say that, you know, to be a majority party, we went to the people and tell them what we can do for them in the event they elect us. But the ANC has always been consistent that we want democratic majority rule, not just partisan majority rule. And that's why we have this patience of listening to others, even those who differ with us, so that our decisions must be informed by the wisdom and the insights of all political parties represented in Parliament. Otherwise, we will just sit at our homes and decide and come and ask the Speaker to announce. The fact that we are open to engagement, open to discussion, means that the ANC is not using numbers. And there's no ANC that is going to use numbers. We were taught by our leaders that if we want other parties to agree with us, we must present superior arguments. But also we accept that there are cases where others may have superior arguments. And that's why we listen to all of you and we give you equal time. So let's disabuse ourselves of this notion that the ANC is using its majority, and we can assure you, even in this matter, we are going to listen to everybody. But unfortunately, if what you present has no substance, is not rational, is not logical, we will not be afraid to decide for fear that we'll be accused of losing our majority. So far, none of you, with due respect, has made a case for calling the public protector to this forum. You will be aware that the public protector office is a very active office. Even when we're busy in Marise, they will treat us and so on. We were being phoned by the media to say the public protector says this, what are your responses? And some of us said that we will respond in the committee. So I think with respect, the public protector has had an opportunity to say everything she wants to say, and we have had and we respect what she has said and what perhaps she continues to say. So there's no need, I can repeat, for her to appear before us. There's no other value that she can add. And in conclusion, Honorable Singh, with respect, you are repeating what other people say we need to hear the other side. There's no side that has not been heard. This is the time for us to evaluate what we have heard from all the reports and to prepare the final report. I want to call on this meeting and all of you to say this is the time to prepare the final report, because the people of South Africa have given us a mandate to do things that matter to them. But these claims of undue benefit by the president or his family is non-existent. You saw for yourself, even the little that has been done, the cost will just be escalated. And also, all of you, especially that side, you agreed with this side that there was no value for money on the crawl, on the terrace, on the reception area which was presented as a double story house. Now, where even do benefit? Where does it arise, honorable members? With due respect, let's move forward. We want to prepare a final report now and close this matter.
There's a few more hands that I recognize before we get to a point to that now that the honorable member is referring to. You are one of those things that the proposal, I'm not even going to think about the council proposal. Honorable member Slade.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, these discussions are very interesting. And I hope that we will keep the spirit of robust discussions in the committee until we finish. Keep the spirit of a robust engagement amongst the members of the committee and not even attempt to work out when our facts are not properly received. Chairperson, thank you, Mr. Singh. Honorable. Chair.
Don't allow yourself to be provoked.
Honorable members are quoting section 181 of the Constitution. Correctly though. But we should not quote the Constitution selectively. When we refer to the Constitution of the country, we must also be able to allude to the fact that it says that Chapter 9 institutions are accountable to Parliament. They must report their activities, functions, and developments. You go to the Peoples Act 23 of 1994. It alludes to the fact that PP shall at any time submit a report to the NA on the findings of a particular investigation. Subsection 2 says, if she or he deems it in the public interest. Now the question is, has she submitted that report? No, is the answer. Now, honorable members are arguing that we should not make institutions not to be respected. My fellow colleague here, honorable Lowan. Now, I'm sitting here, Chair, thinking, who holds the monopoly over disrespecting these institutions? Because both the Act and the Constitution of the country give instruction to the Chapter 9 institutions to report to Parliament. All of them, without exception. The public protector submits the report to the president of the country, who in terms of the Executive Members Ethics Act must act in the event of ethical violation by members of the cabinet. Why this report was not sent to the speaker, rather, as per the lines of accountability. Because they are very leisure person. Ne? Now, we must sit here in this committee, which has a particular mandate in terms of the resolutions of the House, and discuss whether to invite or not to invite PP. It can never be correct, Chairperson. We should not deviate from the mandate as a committee. And we must speak to the Constitution and uphold the Constitution at all times. It can't be selectively that you uphold the Constitution of the country as legislators. The interrogation of the so-called reports of the ministers. Honorable members are saying that it was informed by that of the public protector. This is unfounded, honorable members of the AIC. The reports of the ministers were responding to the recommendations of the ad hoc committee, the previous one, which honorable members on the other side never participated in. They decided to abandon that committee. Now, I don't think that's fair when we say we implement the resolutions of the House, it should be translated to abuse of majority. It's naive. That's not abuse of majority. It is the implementation of the responsibilities given to you as legislators. Now, honorable members are saying we must pursue the truth. I believe in it because it is revolutionary. Honorable members, truth is revolutionary. Now, in pursuit of the truth, we must also take into cognizance the fact that, as the chairperson of the committee said, seeing is believing. In pursuit of the truth. And here we are equally dealing with what we saw and what the nation saw through the media. Now, we must refrain from political posturing, because if we really, certainly, as members on the other side are saying, we must close this thing of Nkandla, complete close this thing of Nkandla, let's refrain from political posturing, because that is what is happening here in Australia. And definitely, we will never conclude if we are not refraining from political posturing and deal with what we saw. The time for the office of the PD or the PP to submit a report to Parliament expired long ago. She decided to report to the public, not to the institution that she accounts Guyo. Now, we are not dealing with the reports here of the institutions. We are dealing with the recommendations of the ad hoc committee as resolved by Parliament. So I want to plead that we not divert from the mandate and the resolution by Parliament. That's my plea. Thank you.
Honorable Kubisa, you can see, Honorable Kubisa, that this wasn't that long.
No, it wasn't. I'm a teacher. Mine would be shorter than that one. So thank you, Chair. I think it's quite clear that most of us have been saying more or less the same thing. And of course, we have various convictions of what we saw there. Let me say categorically that the NSP believes that the public protector must come here before us. That's our belief. And from the very onset, we have always stated our case that, like others, like the Minister of Police and Public Works came here, we must also have a public protest. I think if we can knock that angle, we can move closer to coming up with a report. For instance, I don't need the public protector to tell me how she's going to be concerned of an amphitheater. Because that is not an amphitheater. Let alone the fact that the price was inflated. But, well, I'm only worried about technology, but definitely the price was inflated. Not only that amphitheater, so-called amphitheater, we mean all other things. So, Chair, my take on the matter, I've already alluded to a number of things during the debate and the discourse, but the narrative is wider than we think. We definitely need the public protector. Chairman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kubisa, Honorable Kobo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. May I just start by saying I have been in the Chapter 9 institution. Before we started our work, we were called by the then Minister of Justice, Honorable Dula Umar, and he told us what was expected of us. But said he read the constitution, and then he said there were acts of parliament for each of the Chapter 9 institutions. And he emphasized that we are to do research, we are to investigate on all various buildings and submit the report to Parliament, National Assembly. And Parliament, we look at the report, we look at our observations, the findings, and the recommendations, and we do what is deemed fit to be done on those reports. Also, when we come to the Office of the Public Protector, nowhere is this stated in the Constitution that it is superior to all the government institutions. I don't think anyone of them has been called. Those that were here before some of us are aware that there was a big case between the AG and the Minister of Minerals at that time. The public protector produced his findings because it was a delay and submitted to Parliament. It was never caught by the ICOM committee that was said there to look into it matter. Okay, that's just a background. I fully agree with all the commissioner on what he has said. If the members here want to call all these people, they must request for a commission of inquiry to be brought to them so that they are able to bring all these people to deal with whatever they want to deal with. I would like to agree with Honorable Mahabesha that the public protector initially gave a report to the media many times before it came to Parliament. Just before the elections, the public protector also gave a report to the media. On the eve of the Siege of the Nation, she also collected a certain report on the media. But that's what she did before giving it to Parliament. So I'm not sure whether she was executing the mandate which she was given. But like all the other members who are meeting 3 weeks here, by before the 7th of August, we must be giving our report to the House. If they're not going to be calling all these people, I think it should take her to the end of the year. And when if we're going to be calling people who are at a court, I don't understand it, but who are being dealt with by the court, I don't know what contact process will we be doing to do that. I think, Honorable Chair, our message was to look into the report of the two ministers and the previous committee had recommended. They have come to do that to this committee. The previous committee never committed that public protector must give a report, a top of a report. And those who want the SIU to come here, the SIU never comes to account. It gives a report. It writes a report fully, then it's produced. I haven't heard that the SIU can come to a committee and give a report. Maybe I was misinstructed by that. Change, that's my take. But I think now we must try to be moving forward to frustrate our processes.
Honorable Coleman.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. After listening to the report, to the discussions, motivations, it is quite clear that we want to extend the lifespan of this community. I just have a challenge because from the onset it was very clear that some members of the opposition came here with a very closed mind in as far as the report of the police minister is concerned. And that coming out very clearly from some of the members' input today. Because it just says we do not trust the minister's report. But unfortunately, we are here because of the mandate given by the House on the two reports. And this is where we are saying we are confining ourselves to. If we want an additional mandate, it is important that we speak to those issues. I think a lot has been said in trying to motivate. A lot has been said up to an extent of even thinking members of the ANC could be breached. I normally don't want to engage in such issues because I don't think they are beneficial to anybody. I think we must stick to issues at hand here. The issues at hand, we all agree that in terms of our mandate, the report as outlined by the Minister of Police and the other report as outlined by the Minister of Public Works are reports that made us to go, actually the first one, made us to go to Uganda and verify for ourselves. We did do that. We did that, we verified. But then, the report of Philomena Donsela was reported, of the public protector, pardon for mentioning the name, was debated for by the committee that some of us were not even sitting in, and it was concluded. We all agree on that. There were recommendations made by the previous committee, it's very clear. And now we are responding to the outcome of one of the recommendations there, which is why we are here today. So, colleagues, as I indicated, I think even when we were at Peace and Respect, this is a political platform we all understand. But let's not reduce this to what we had, you know, we want to achieve for political reasons. We are here to look at what we are given to do, and we must conclude that. And we must not confuse mandates or matters with our wishful thinking. Because to start, you know, mentioning things that are outside this, casting aspersions on individuals that are not able to come here and defend themselves, as much as you are defending the PP, unfortunately the president cannot come here also to defend himself on the few things. The SIU cannot come here and defend and say anything that they want to say. We are losing the fact that the matter is before the court on anything that relates to corruption. Honorable Zoam, the public work indicated to us that all corrupt and unbecoming behaviors or anything that has to do with those that duly benefited before the court. And that is as a result of an investigation that was done, and certain people were then taken to court. And they are now before the court. Why do you think the court is not capable of getting information from those people? Because that court process is going to ensure that people then account for the actions done. Because those people that are mentioned in both the report of the public, of the two reports, that is the police and the public works, are there. They are mentioned in those reports and they are appearing before the court, including those that you want them to appear. And therefore, for us to then predict the outcome of the court, it's not fair. We cannot do that. If there's anybody that has been hidden here, or the truth that has been hidden, obviously that court will be able, or some of us at least have faith that the court will be able to bring out the truth out of that. Unless we claim we don't have faith in our court, in our own court. But here we have a mandate to look at the report that says whether the president benefited unduly. And that investigation was done. Somebody was given an authority to do that, and that person did exactly that and reported. And now we are looking at that. And we went and saw the basis of what informed his report. And this is what we are discussing today. The reason why we went is we wanted to verify the truth of what he said. So, colleagues, I think really, in as far as our mandate is concerned, let's wrap up, let's report, and those who are saying the public will judge, yeah, let the public judge, good. We're going to discuss the matter in the house. And as usual, colleagues are able to have free access. Some of them are getting even SMSs and so forth from all the people that want us to call. If there's more information, I don't think there's anything that is stopping us from getting that. Because I know that you have that kind of information, colleagues. That's why you were able to bring us the letters from this and that. We were able to give us that information. We have laws that allows you to access information in this country. So, I'm saying, therefore, let's wrap up the work. We don't have enough time to live until the 7th. And we have to wrap up the work. And if the House feels we have not done our work up to scratch, they will indicate so to us, and then we'll have to then take it from there. Mm.
The Honourable Gamede.
I just want to make my voice too, because we seem to be going around in circles. And if the opposition is honest, and honest to all South Africans, the issues that they are raising today, they're not raising them for the first time. They raised them when this other community was established. to such an extent that the parliament went to a vote and there was a decision and a resolution of the house. Now in my mind when I'm sitting here, I ask myself, what makes the opposition to think and believe that with that resolution of the house, we must come here as an adult community and change what we're supposed to do? So I don't think we are being fair and honest and real to you. That's my personal view. You will respect the decisions of the house. So that's what we're thinking here. The other issue is, we are not afraid of anything as the age. Not even the court. We are not afraid. We abide, we didn't abide by any other decision of the court. So they mustn't try the opposition to make us feel that we are not free with our majority. I mean, the majority is ours. They mustn't threaten us with the majority. I say, don't appease the majority. What must we do with our majority? This is our majority and we must utilize it. As much as everybody was but the majority will utilize it. So stop talking the thing that the majority are abusing it. This is only the people that vote the ANC that could tell us. So for us to move on, our second idea that let us move on. We cannot be talking one thing all the time. That's what I said. It is interesting to note that we're dealing with issues of security and security aspects. And on the security aspect, can we comment and do other things about these issues? Not anybody. So we're satisfied ourselves, the minister was there, the minister of police, the expert that they were engaged. I haven't heard that anybody else in South Africa has employed security experts to deal with the issue of Uganda. It's only personal opinions with the rest of the people. So, in second we that we move forward. Let us agree that we agree. And if you don't agree, let us agree. That's the nature of democracy. You can't put us in a corner and say, because you are a majority, you mustn't do this. It is a tied to democratic principles, you must allow democracy to run on. Thank you, sir.
There's three more speakers in the following order. Then almost everyone in the committee will have their say. We can't sustain and beat ourselves. We are trying to be fair, honorable students, give space to people to air their views. But every process also has a certain point where it has to get to and where we make a decision, and we're very close to that point. The honorable Kubai, followed by the Honourable Swart, and then the Honourable Dlakude.
I think for me, start with the issue of our resolution of the House in terms of the mandate, and echo the same sentiments that we find in the same arguments that were made in the chamber when the establishment was made. Coming through to the community. Because if you go back to the records of Parliament in case of that thing, the same arguments were used, and that's why the decision was put forward. So that's the first thing that one would want to present to. But secondly, there was an issue that Honourable Singh spoke to, that the Auditor General tables a report, and that report is sent to SCOPA, and SCOPA decides to call the Auditor General. But the difference is that if it didn't table the report to Parliament, that report was not tabled. So that's the difference as well that we've got to. It was never tabled. No? I've also checked the records of Parliament, because based on Parliament, when a report isn't tabled, you're 80 seats. The report was sent. And the ABC that appeared is when the president responded. It was when the speaker was publishing the letter of the president. Because in his response to Parliament, because the recommendations of the public protector was that within this particular day, respond to Parliament. And then in his opinion, he felt that he can't submit a response without Parliament. He sent it through. That's the only process that the letter was, the report was into Parliament. So that's the ATC, because he's going to check the ATC. So that's the process. But I think we also going back to the same issues. And one goes back to the argument last time, for example. There are fundamental issues in the report of the public protector which are incoherent with what we have seen on the ground. Now, the challenge that we face, and this is what we have always said, you have a report that does not speak to what you have seen, you call the public protector here. And it's what I think Adia Ona said. In the process, you do establish, but what she has said is definitely you have come to the conclusion that the report was not found. That is a difficult position that would have put this committee in, for example. The public protector had an opportunity to deal with this matter. She reported. So she's had a chance. Now the process we have been dealt with here is by Parliament. But otherwise, if we are saying she needs an opposition, she's had a chance. If we call her, it's a second chance, it's not the first chance. She's had a chance of dealing with the process, and she reported. Now it's a second chance, but what is that she's not even capable of? Honestly speaking, if she felt that it was important that the Parliament must deal with this, she'd have reported here. That's another issue. Then we would have dealt with something else. Now, we can't be in, because I tell you, Chair, we're going to have a difficulty of what we, because you're not allowed to review that report. And going to be accused of again saying findings. Because if she comes here, she can't justify. There's no amphitheater. I'm not so sure what else is going to be explained to us. There's no amphitheater. But the report says this, and it says this. Her words, even at the time of releasing the report, is words like opulence, sophistication, those words were used. Now, you have to come to a point where you start interrogating those. We're going to run into the risk of, one, things seem to undermine her, challenging her authority, but as well wanting to review her report. Because the challenge here, Jefferson, is that, and those who have been saying that we said that you didn't do us favors to see dear colleagues. You have an obligation given to you by South African voters to do your work and be here. We have, I agree. But don't blackmail us and believe that we are sitting here because you're doing us a favor, the majority of us are not. So some colleagues give a sentiment that you are doing us a favor that you sat through this committee until this time. Really? It's an obligation you have. No, it's a sentiment that you come across, you know, we've been sitting here now and we didn't want to walk out because other people said that we are going to, you're sort of trying to play, emotional blaming is not going to help. Let's engage with issues. That's why it's difficult today in South Africa, because when people have a different view, they go to insult. You have undertones that sarcastically give you as if you are a lesser human being. We are all here members of Parliament equally, given the mandate by voters. Each of one of us is having a seat that has equal vote. So when we argue and when we debate, Jefferson, I think we've been doing very well throughout, and I don't know what suddenly happened and people suddenly decided that now they have a license to just sit and sarcastically reflect on us. I take serious exception, and I think my colleagues do so. I think my person didn't go as far as saying beast. It's really out of order. And coming from, I think, our ancestors originate almost the same area as me and him, we understand the implication of somebody saying you are being cheated.
So I just thought that let's argue. Let's, when we agree to disagree, let it be so in a very respectful manner. And as colleagues, because we're still having a long way to go with the 5 years to go. So let's not disrespect each other.
Honourable Swart.
Chair, thank you. First, I would distance myself from that last comment about being bewitched totally. And I agree that it was, I understand the sentiment, but I do not agree with it at all. And I think we've been engaging in a very frank way, and I'm very grateful for this morning's discussion, and I trust that we can continue in that vein. But I just want to point out a few preliminary, and we don't want to rehash, but there are some points that I need to place on record, and I appreciate that the ATCs might not have reflected the filing of the public protector's report, but I'm not sure why that issue comes up even, because it again would seem to allude to a sentiment towards the public protector, and would again substantiate the argument why she needs to come and put her side, because here on page 78, paragraph 1.3.2, she says, the report is submitted to the joint chairperson of the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Ethics and Members' Interests, that parliament. So according to that, it was forwarded what happened practically, and I accept the fact that the ATCs might not reflect it, but here, according to her, she says she sent it to Parliament. That's the first point. Secondly, Chair, I remember distinctly when we had the debate about motion, setting up the ad hoc committee, and the Honourable Chief Whip says, but you'll be able to call anyone. You'll be able to call anyone. The rules allow you to call anyone. Rule 138, we know. The Chief Whip pointed it out. Summons or any person to appear. So we are not constrained by the Minister of Police's report as to who we can call. We are not constrained by that. The third quick point is the point made by the Honourable Beerman about 4213, scrutinising and oversight of executive action. Surely that includes the President's actions himself. And that is what we've been doing, and we've been asking questions about that. And those are some of the issues. Can he refer the matter to the Minister of Peace in the first place? Does this amount to a review? Is that decision itself rational? Surely that is part of the arguments that we should also be engaging. Because, Chair, and I don't want to rehash the arguments, but I've continually mentioned the two yesterday again about the discussion that the public protector had with the President about the larger car. If you read a report, she said, the President said, I need a larger car because I want more cattle. The Minister of Peace yesterday said, but that's hearsay. So let's hear from the people as to what that happened. What happened to the memo on the apportionment of cost between the President and the state cost? That memo just disappeared. Let the public protector come and explain. What happened then? Chairperson, we need to also appreciate the concept of focus of security, my dear Chairperson of Justice Committee. It is not applicable in this case. Because the public protector makes remedial actions, and then she says at the end, in accordance with that remedial action, you must report to me. So there are further steps that must take place. As to, within 40 days, report to me a program that's not finished. And secondly, if she's not satisfied with the organ of state, she can take it on review. So the process is not complete when it comes to her situation. She's not out of the picture. She's given her report, and now it's the implementation of that remedial action. Otherwise, you can just close office down. It gives a report, and that's it. Finish. Nothing further happens, and that clearly cannot be the case. Chairperson, we need to respect the judiciary. Dr. Moshe says that very clearly. Critical. We must be the first to respect the decisions of the courts. Mr. Beckman quotes the Ashton Skipper's judgment. Please allow me for the umpteenth time to quote the applicable paragraph, which is paragraph 72. The organ of state, which includes Parliament, must properly consider the findings and remedial action. The process must be rational. Now we've got disputes. We've already said, we've got disputes. We've got disputes. We are an organ of state. We've got disputes with the public protector's report. already members would say, Dr. Mashefi, you say, we're elected. It's clearly there's no benefit to the president. In other words, we reject it. But the court has said, and you have said, Dr. Mashefi, that is the court we must abide by. The court says, in a case where a dispute arises, because organ of state, i.e. this parliament, does not accept the findings or implement the remedial action, it obviously has to engage the public protector. That is all we are asking. We are asking for us to comply with what a judge has said. If you differ from the court of action, and if you don't want to take it on review, because he said ultimately you could take it on review, you must follow this process by engaging the public protector, which is a step beyond just looking at the report. You engage with her. So that would, why we ask for her to be brought into process, because it brings us in line then with what the Ashton Sippers has said. And Dr. Mashefa, you know me, I have said, I was wrong, it's not binding like a court order, but it is binding as far as this process is concerned. And we don't want to end up having a court again telling us Parliament what to do. Because the other court has already set out the process. Let's follow that process. Let's engage with the public protector. Let's point out issues. And we will then be in compliance with this court process. But just allow me to conclude. We are sat in Pin Maritzburg. And I said we've come a long way to find each other. Where it was 246 million was banded around, the president must pay back 246 million. We now see it's nowhere near that figure. And we see the special investigating unit is litigating to recover large amounts. But where we're going to part ways is if we are adamant that the president must pay nothing. And I would implore you, to think very carefully over this weekend about that part. That is a way we could resolve this issue very quickly. It would go away. The public protector's office would be fine. The president's office, he's the client. We've seen what was on the ground. Should he repay a portion of the money in terms of this, it would resolve this whole issue. But Chairperson, just on the question of law, I thought I wanted to emphasize that and just make an appeal. I respect my colleagues on the other side, and we need to act for the goodwill of the nation, because everyone is watching this. Let us try to find each other. Let us try to find each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Swart. The Honourable Lakude.
Thank you, Chairperson. I thought I was not going to say anything because my colleagues have covered everything. But I just want to bring back the meeting to this house that we understand that the real reason this ad hoc committee was established was to deal with the report of the Minister of Police. And he didn't just wake up and go to Nkandla to come up with the bioscope and everything that we saw. It was the recommendations of the previous ad hoc committee with regards to features that were said to be not non-security features. That is why the Minister of Police came back with the report. So, our role as this ad hoc committee was to deal with that report. And we made many recommendations in the previous ad hoc committee, also to the Minister of Public Works. That is why the ministers were here, to give us the report. We are not here reviewing or questioning anything. Here we are talking about what we saw at Nkandla and what was presented to us by the Minister of Police and the Public Works Minister. So, as Parliament, we have a responsibility to come up with our own report. And that does not mean that we must agree with all the reports that are there. To come up with our own conclusions. What is it that we found in this report? What is it that we saw at Nkandla? We know what we saw at Ibadla. All of us, we were there. And we are in agreement that taxpayers' money was misused or was stolen using the project. So, honorable members, I don't see a need for us to call witnesses. We didn't call witnesses here. The ministers were responding to the previous ad hoc committee recommendations. So, we understand that our colleagues, Jefferson, were not part of the previous ad hoc committee where we dealt with all the reports. We understand why maybe, but they see a need for the TP to come to this committee to defend herself. But I don't see a need for that to defend herself. Because we are not accusing anyone, but we are dealing with what was presented to us by the Minister of Police and what we saw at Nkata. What is wrong with that? Because we saw what we saw at Nkata. So I don't understand what is it that we want to achieve by calling witnesses. What is it that we want to achieve? You know, sometimes our obsession with the president, trying to find him to be on the wrong side of the law always, is clouding our judgments. Of which, I don't think it is fair. There are processes already in place by the SIU. The SIU was established through the Act of Parliament. There are many investigations that were done. We are not investigating as this parliament, as this committee. We don't have those skills to do so. Ours is to analyze the report and deal with them the way we see them, like we are doing in all the committees that we serve in. Please, honorable members, Chairperson, let's not waste more time on this issue. Because our mandate is clear at this committee. Let's stick to that. And also, we cannot be called names that we are rubber stamping, we are trying to replace other people's reports. We are not replacing any report here. We are dealing with the facts before us as a committee. We'll come up with our own report. Whether someone accepts it or not, it's a non-issue. It will be a parliamentary report. That's all. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Swart, you wanted to make a proposal early in the meeting. Do you still want to do so?
I'm a non-voting member, so I'm not sure I can make a proposal, but that we formally propose that the public protector is called.
Is there a seconder to that proposal? There's a seconder? Is there another proposal? There's an objection to a proposal from the majority party. Proposal from the member of the ICB Honorable Swart is that the public protector be called, and there's a seconder to that. Right, I then asked, are there any other proposals? Is there support for the proposal? And there was objections towards that proposal. Honorable Moses, did you want to say something?
Yes, the person presented how strong that objection would be. Maybe we should find out. I would suggest we find out and see that the members indicate who object and who don't. And then after we've done with that, I would like to make further proposals, if you don't mind.
I won't ring the bell. It's not necessary. All those who voted are always here. I just want to remind the honourable members that I will put a question, right, to deal with the issue that the honourable Mulder raised, that the honourable Swart correctly indicated they are voting and non-voting members on this committee. And I just want to indicate that the committee has 14 voting members, 1-4. Of that 14, 8 are from the majority party and 6 are from the opposition. In terms of the opposition, the Democratic Alliance has 3 members
who are voting members, the IFP have won, the Freedom Plus have won, and then the EFF decided not to participate in these proceedings. They also have a vote.
May I assist the person? It is indeed, as you say, but not exactly. In terms of the opposition, the Democratic Alliance will have 3 votes, the EFF will have 1 vote, and all other parties combined will have 2 votes. In terms of our agreement, the two voting members would be myself and Mr. Singh.
Okay.
It's not
okay.
The parties.
Okay. But the formula remains the same. Okay? Honourable Gamere?
Chair, I just wanted to check something in terms of procedure.
Honourable Member, I'm just trying to follow you, Honourable Member. Yes, Honourable Member.
On the issue of the proposal raised by Honourable Swart, because it's not a voting.
No, look, you see, Honourable Members, if you want to be very technical about it, I actually like the spirit in which the proceedings in this meeting was conducted. But unfortunately, it is getting to that point. And the Honourable Singh has now indicated, because of the way that they, if you recall how the Honourable Moses said how the configuration of the voting and non-voting members are. So the Honourable Singh, you are the one then that take the proposal, and there was a second for that proposal, Honourable Macheka. Let the Honourable Dr. Macheka speak for himself.
I fully respect the right of any of us to call for voting. And I think the chairperson is doing the right thing. But I just want to place it on record that we were being accused of using the majority. Now you are calling on us to do that. We thought you had an opportunity to persuade us, and you have failed to persuade us. You want vote simply to be able to say we have used the majority, but you know you have failed to persuade us. But I can't stand in the way of democracy, and I guess you won't even allow me to do that.
Now, Honourable Members, I gave you over 3 hours to persuade one another, and it's quite clear from the answer thing that there's very little persuasion that's taken place. And when you get to a certain point, a decision needs to be taken, and you ask for proposals. So those proposals are there now, and we must deal with it. So can we proceed that way? Okay? Can I ask those who are in favor of the proposal as made by the Honourable Singh to indicate by their hand, please? Can you just make sure you record the names of these members, please? Okay? So there's 4. And those who are against? Those members who are against the proposal of the Honourable Singh, please, Honourable Members, don't confuse yourself by communicating with the Honourable Ama. There's 7. Right, so there's 4 in favour and 7 against, so the proposal is not carried. Honourable Mother?
Chairperson, I've indicated at the first day that I think we should call other witnesses as well. We've now decided not to call the public protector. I don't want to waste the committee's time. I would like to propose that we also call the following people. Mr. McConnell, the architect. I propose that we call the former ministers of Public Works, Mr. Jeff Deutsch, Ben Mishlangu, as well as deputy minister. I would propose that we call Mr. Rindel, the project manager. I would propose that we call the 2 drafters of SIU reports, Lorenza Adam, as well as Mr. Anish Maharaj. I would propose that we call the quantity surveyor, Mrs. Paisley or Pasley. I have mentioned, I think, Mr. Linda, senior superintendent as well. Thank you.
Is there a seconder for that proposal? Honourable Steen, is there a seconder for that? Honourable Macheka?
Okay. I don't think we can support that.
Okay.
I said at the outset, that is a misunderstanding of mandate and process.
Honourable Macheka, with all due respect, we have gone through that. We've gone through that draw. There's a proposal now on the table. There's a seconder. Are there any objection to that?
Yes,
there's objection. I ask that the proposal as moved by the Honourable Mulder. Will those members in favour of that proposal indicate so? There's 4 members who indicate so. And those against? It's 10 members against. So the proposal is not supported.
On the members, it leaves us in the situation, yes, on the scene. Another proposal.
No proposals. Proposal for closure. But I just want to make sure that the secretary captures the facts that Honorable Mulder and I didn't do this in our party capacity, but on behalf of all the colleagues, the ten parties that are here.
Honorable Mulder?
Because I don't know if you want to move towards closure.
Yes,
but
I want to.
Yes, but in terms of...
Order, Honorable Members.
In terms of the program of today, we were supposed to deliberate on the way forward. I have no idea what the way forward now would be. If we could have some indication, then we can take it.
Well, now, Honorable Members, where there are no further witnesses will be called. What is the point of order, Honorable Member?
Point of order, I want to be educated on what is being said. When the members of other political parties are present, and two members of others say we are representing all of them, but the four votes that are recorded.
No, Honorable Members, there's a specific way in which the committee was comprised, consisting of voting and non-voting members. Right, a non-voting member doesn't have a vote. However, it's the configuration that they have decided upon as to who represent them as two members on this committee. Is that correct, Honorable Mulder? And that is what they are indicating. That's what they are indicating. Okay. Honorable Members, so there won't be any additional witnesses that will be called. In terms of the way forward, I will instruct the committee staff that is currently here with us to start working on a draft report of proceedings as to where we are. That draft report will be circulated to all members. We will convene another meeting of this committee probably by Tuesday, and then members will have an opportunity to reflect on the draft report that is there. I want to thank you for your participation and for everyone's participation, whether it was without or with persuasion or what. And I want to really honestly all thank the spirit generally speaking.
And also, as one of the we must always avoid, if we have any negotiations, to take my word for it.